Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Drive. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson on a Tuesday in late November, and we need more cowbell in that song, Matt. Gotta have more cowbell.
Never a bad idea.
Never a bad idea. Mike Tomlin holding his press conference today in the aftermath of Sunday's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. The injury news to come out of Tomlin's press conference, not that bad. In fact, he said that all three guys who left the game on Sunday with injuries, that would be Miles Boykin, Jaylen Warren, and Mason Cole, he feels pretty optimistic that all three will play or at least have a chance to play on Monday night against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really didn't expect that. I mean, Cole has been battling a foot and whatnot, you know, most of the year, all the year. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's been gutting through it, and I thought, that might be the end of him. And he's been a quality player for this team. Warren's a great backup, change of pace, third down, different style than Harris, and, you know, more so even than that, I might be trying to kill Benny Snell. It's just such a drop-off. When Harris does need a break to bring Snell in, it just doesn't move the needle nearly enough. And so, yeah, I think they're in good shape. That is promising, promising news.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Tomlin also saying that, you know, their run defense in this game, he expects it to be something that's going to need to hold up quite well against the Indianapolis Colts, and made note that in the past two games, Jonathan Taylor's gotten 22 carries in each one of those games. And while you may look at that and say, well, okay. In the five games prior to Frank Reich being fired, Jonathan Taylor was averaging 15 carries a game.
Yeah, the usage has been a little strange with him, I'm sure. Fantasy owners remember at the beginning of the season, hey, I took this guy first overall. What's going on?
He had 31 for 161 and a touchdown against the Houston Texans. As we have since learned, everybody runs like that against the Houston Texans. But then after that, it was 9 for 54, 21 for 71, 20 for 42, 10 for 58, 16 for 76. You know, not exactly what you'd expect. And in the last two games, it's been 22 for 147 against the Raiders, and then 22 for 84 last week against the Eagles.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, I've been playing with my stat pack, and you know,
as I knew you would.
Of course. I mean, I'm a little under the weather here, and it's been a strange week. We got Thanksgiving, but that's not going to derail me from learning everything I can about the Colts. And some of the rushing stuff's pretty interesting in this game. And you mentioned, you know, his production, Taylor, who's a phenomenal football player, but he does average 86.6 yards per game rushing the ball on the ground. I mean, so that's not exactly a down year, but he's only been over
that number twice this year.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of skewed a little bit by those two big games.
Yeah, absolutely true. So as a team, the Colts are averaging 4.1 yards per rush. That's only 25th. But over their last three games, they're averaging 4.9 per rush, which isn't necessarily a Saturday thing. They ran the ball well before that, too.
Right.
But meanwhile, you're talking about the Steelers' run defense. Right now, only the Niners and Colts are better on a per-carry basis. The Steelers only allow 3.9. And over the Steelers' last three games, they only allow 3.4. So it's kind of the immovable object and whatever that saying is.
Yeah, in their last two games, they've allowed 91 rushing yards, and it's like 2.9 yards a carry or something like that. That's the lowest two-game total that they've given up since 2010.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Impressive.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. If you look at Taylor's season, he's averaging 4.6 a carry. So it's been the other backs that kind of, and you know, some of the other stuff that they've done that's brought that total down. There's nothing wrong with him. It's been their offensive line. It's been some of the game planning. I think that's why Frank Reich may not be there anymore. It's that, hey, we've got this guy. Let's use him.
Yeah, he you think he's the best back in the league?
He's certainly in the conversation.
Certainly in the conversation. I mean, ball carrier, I might put Chubb ahead of him, but I think Taylor brings more in the passing game. If you factor in age and all those things, you know, what back do you want right now to build your team around? I think it's this guy. I mean, he has it all.
Yeah, and, you know, he was coming back. He had that high ankle sprain, or ankle sprain, I should say. It wasn't a high ankle sprain, but he missed a couple of games with that. Came back, then missed another game. So, you know, he's been a little in and out of the lineup, so I get some of the usage, but he's going to be a problem for the Steelers. They're going to have to – I mean, they talk about shutting down the run every week. It's really – they have to do it this week. And then the thing about it is Matt Ryan's not going to beat you with his legs.
No, not at all.
So it's all about shutting down Taylor.
100%. And their line's starting to play a little bit better. Bernard Raymond, the left tackle, has been in and out of the lineup. They've been searching. He's starting to put it together a little bit, but still, it's not really a strength. They kind of know what they're going to do. You know, Ryan's going to throw short. He's going to get out of his hands quick. He's hopefully not going to make a lot of mistakes, and they're going to hand the ball off a lot and play good defense.
Yeah, for sure. Changing gears here a little bit, the 28 semifinalists for the induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame were announced today. Hines Ward made the cut, and James Harrison made the cut.
Really? Good.
So
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, looking here at the list, it's Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, obviously these are in alphabetical order, Rondé Barber, Anquan Boldin, Henry Ellard, Jari Evans, London Fletcher, Dwight Freeney, James Harrison, Rodney Harrison, Devin Hester, Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, Albert Lewis, Robert Mathis, Darrell Rivas, Steve Smith Sr., Fred Taylor, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, Hines Ward, DeMarcus Ware, Ricky Waters, Reggie Wayne, Vince Wilfork, Patrick Willis, and Darren Woodson. That's your grouping there. Of course, Nick Shook, who writes for NFL.com, went ahead and ranked the semifinalists 1 through 28. Now, or Adam Rank. Adam Rank did this. I'm sorry, Adam Rank. And as we know, Adam Rank, a huge Chicago Bears apologist. And so who does he have ranked number one among his semifinalists? Who would you think?
Hester.
Devin Hester.
Is it Hester?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, come on.
Not ahead of some of these guys that are on this list. That's ridiculous.
As you were, you know, going through the list, I wrote down the guys that I thought that were really in the mix. You know, because the first I'd heard the list, to be honest with you. And the two no-brainers to me are Rivas and Joe Thomas. I mean, I think that's their first time up. I mean, there's some other ones on this
list.
To
me, Patrick Willis should be a no-brainer. And Patrick Willis,
I know,
he didn't even make the cut to the semifinals a couple of times.
I know. I 100% agree. But, I mean, of the new guys, Rivas and Thomas to me are the easiest and would certainly rank ahead of Hester on the list.
See, I don't know if Thomas gets in on the first ballot, because there's some other offensive linemen on you know, who are available, like Willie Anderson and things like that. That sometimes you know, because there's no stats there for those guys, it makes it a little difficult. Looking here,
he also doesn't have many wins.
Yeah, that's the other part. I mean, how many bad teams did you play on? Looking here how Adam Rank has them ranked on NFL.com. He has London Fletcher at 28.
Okay,
I don't have a problem with that. He made four Pro Bowls.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Second team All-Pro twice. Okay, that doesn't move the needle for me. Mm. It's Ricky Waters at 27.
Wow. He almost made my list of guys that I would strongly consider. I was like, no.
He has Hines Ward at 26, the lowest of any of the wide receivers on there. And he says, you know, he's a Super Bowl MVP. He's a six-time 1,000-yard receiver, punishing blocker, great career, should be celebrated in the Pittsburgh community. But we have to make some tough decisions, and I have other receivers higher than Hines Ward. We'll get to this here in a second. But so he has Fred Taylor at 25th.
Taylor versus Waters is a conversation for me. Yeah. I mean, I think they're both tremendous, and we've seen a couple backs get in lately that I think are of the same ilk of those guys.
Yeah, Taylor had more rushing yards in his career. He had 11,500 mm-hmm. rushing yards. And seven 1,100-yard seasons. Pretty solid.
Really solid.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a great player. Waters was a great receiver, too.
At 24, he has Anquan Boldin. Now,
Boldin versus Ward to me is tough.
That's really I don't understand how you split the hairs there between the two of them because they're almost the same player.
I'd say similar styles of play.
Yeah,
well.
If you're going to say, he talks about Boldin, so physical, so tough. You tell me Hines Ward wasn't?
Right. I mean, he has only one guy in between them, though. I mean,
True.
I think they're about the same, and I don't think either Boldin or Ward is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I mean, that's a tough position to get in at, too.
At 23, he has Rondae Barber.
I think he's a Hall of Very Good.
Yeah. 22, Henry Ellard. Now, I can't put Henry Ellard above Ward or Boldin.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't write his name down. And as you were mentioning him, I just breezed over. I'm like, no chance.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, a good player, but not an all-time great.
He'd be one of my first cuts.
Yeah.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At 21, he is Albert Lewis.
One of my first cuts.
Yeah. At 20, he is Eric Allen.
I'll take him over Lewis, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. At 19, he is Rodney Harrison.
Maybe. We've seen a lot of these Dawkins, Atwater safeties get in lately. Does Harrison have as good a case as them? I don't have the stats in front of me.
If we're trying
all
to
that,
find the dirtiest players in the league, yes.
Yeah, right. But Super Bowl rings help him a lot, too.
I suppose. Yeah. At 18, he is Robert Mathis.
Really good player. I think Freeney hurts him.
Freeney was the better player.
Freeney's a better player.
Yeah.
Freeney's on my list. Mathis isn't.
At 17, he has Jari Evans.
Really, really good. He was a mauler, a brute.
He was a
Hall of Fame.
Four-time first-team All-Pro. And he has,
was he really?
And he has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
I mean, those first. You get first-team All-Pro, that moves the needle. Four times he did it. I could see him getting some votes.
Yeah. I didn't feel strong about him when I heard the name the first time. I don't consider him Fanica or Zach Hutchinson, you know, but he was really good. I'm sure he has a lot of Pro Bowls, too.
Yeah. At 16, he has Vince Wilfork.
See, I'm a yes on Wilfork.
It's tough, though, because he has no stats.
I would hate to be his lawyer to try to get him in, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's tough. It's tough. Yeah, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there are any, you know, first-team All-Pros or anything like that there. Because he just didn't get, you know, there's no sacks.
No,
there's none
right.
of the sexy stats available.
No.
With Vince Wilfork, you're going to have to argue the overall Patriots defense. And then once you go down that road, how do you keep a guy like Casey Hampton off the list?
Right. I mean, I think Wilfork's case is stronger than Casey's, but they're neck and neck.
They're both two-time Super Bowl champions. They're both, you know, Pro Bowl. They had Pro Bowls in their background. If you look at the defensive, rankings, actually
for their respective teams,
for their teams, Hampton might actually come out better in that argument.
That's quite possible.
So it's tough. I mean,
pure nose tackles have almost no shot, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, if Wilfork does get in, I think you could start pushing for Hampton to get in then, because you're splitting hairs again between those two players. You really are.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is Ward versus Bolden.
At 15, he has Willie Anderson.
I don't see him as a Hall of Fame tackle, but I know Bengals fans do.
Yeah.
And he was exceptional, but
he also played right tackle, not left. And that,
and it mattered then.
It did matter back then. At 14, he has Darren Woodson.
I think that's too high.
Yeah. Well, he won 3 Super Bowls. Yeah, but was it really him? 13, he has Reggie Wayne.
I think Wayne's very close.
12 is Zach Thomas.
He's not for me. I know his stats will be crazy.
If you look at the Hall of Fame monitor, he is way high on the list on the Hall of Fame monitor.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
It's unbelievable. But he had 5 first-team All-Pro selections. Part of that's because it goes back to who led the league in tackles. It's such a made-up stat.
Right.
It shouldn't even be considered.
No. Or have
any bearing.
The NFL office do it.
Yeah.
Not an opinion.
If it was an Elias stat, I would look at it a little bit differently. But
it's not.
It's a stat that's done by the home team, by whoever, whatever stadium you happen to be in that day. And, you play 8 of your games at home. And if your home team cooks the stats a little bit, well.
Happened all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, guys of his contemporaries, the Willises, the Urlachers, the Lewis, I thought all influenced the game more than Thomas did.
I can't disagree at all with that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
At 11, Jared Allen.
See, I think he's going to go, but
eventually.
I don't feel strong about it.
Yeah. At 10 is Andre Johnson.
I had Johnson over Wayne. I was torn between him and Holt as the best receiver.
At 9, he has Torrey Holt, so he's...
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Bruce got in. I always thought Holt was a little better than Bruce.
Holt and Bruce's stats are almost identical.
I know. The numbers don't bear that out.
Yeah.
I just thought Holt was a slightly better player.
At 8 is Dwight Freeney.
Real quick, do you think it helps Holt that Bruce got in or hurts him?
It definitely helps him. Holt was on the – and Wayne were both on the docket when I did the vote back in 2019, and it was difficult separating Bruce and Holt. I can tell
you
that.
So now that he's out of the way, it helps him.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have Freeney next?
Yeah, Freeney versus Allen is a legit conversation.
I think Freeney's better. I know. I just remember watching them. I think I'd rather try to block Allen.
Yeah. He has DeMarcus Ware at 7. You go DeMarcus Ware over Freeney and Allen?
I thought Ware should have went last year, yes.
Yeah, I do too.
I didn't hear him when you went by. I just wrote him down. Yeah, I would take him over Freeney.
At 6, James Harrison.
This isn't going to be popular, but I don't see it. I mean, I know he's a
two-time Super Bowl champ, two-time first-team All-Pro. 2008 Defensive Player of the Year carries a lot of weight.
Tons. I mean, you're the best player.
You know, by the way, maybe the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history.
Sure.
That doesn't hurt either.
The attitude's awesome and all that kind of stuff. How long did he play, though?
He played a lot longer than you think. It was how long did he play? He started his career began in 2002 and he played through 2017. He had 15 years
in the
NFL.
2 or 3 years,
but there were only you were looking at maybe a 6-year window where he was maybe the most feared pass rusher in the NFL. When I say
the
most feared pass rusher, he was the most feared pass rusher in the NFL.
Yes, yes.
You did not want to run across him.
I mean, the reason I asked how long he played was it took him several years to be a prominent member of the defense.
I don't know that was necessarily his fault, though. Had he been let's say he's in Cleveland from 2002 until Mike Tomlin made him a full-time starter in 2007. So his first 5 years were spent as a special teams guy.
Right.
And then they traded they released Joey Porter and put him in the lineup. And the next year, James Harrison's the NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
And then he goes bonkers.
And then he goes nuts.
But the guys he's fighting against are Freeney, Allen.
I hear you. But I think if you look at that stretch of game, that stretch,
it's pretty awesome.
It's really awesome. And did any of those guys win Defensive Player of the Year? No,
I don't think
they
did. So, right.
That's going to be an interesting conversation.
It is. I like Harrison's chances better than Hines.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. Okay. I think that position lends itself. And again, the two Super Bowls, the 2008 Defensive Player of the Year, played in three Super Bowls. Again, the architect of the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history. People can talk about whatever else they want to talk about. That single play, the determination to get into the end zone at the end of that, and change that game.
That's massive, right? Right.
Change that game.
No, it is. You're convincing me a little. I mean, I still think I'd take those other three over.
I'm not arguing that. Yeah. I just think James Harrison has a better argument. You wish he had 100 sacks.
That's the thing.
And he probably and as I said, I'm making the argument here that I would make if I were in front of the panel. If he's on the Cleveland Browns, or if he's with the whatever, pick a team that wasn't the Steelers of that era. He has 125 sacks in his career. At least
he gets on the field quicker.
Yeah, he gets on way quicker.
Way quicker.
So
no, I don't think there's any argument against that.
At five. His number one receiver. Now, he says he works with this guy. So, that's all part of this. Steve Smith Sr. I can't take Smith Sr. over Holt.
Andre Johnson
or Wayne. No, I'm not doing that.
No. I mean, I think he's above the Ward Bolden level. But, I mean, he's nasty, too. And I respect his game a lot. I'd rather cover him than Andre Johnson, though.
Yeah, yeah. Or Holt or Wayne or,
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys were just more dangerous, yeah. Unless, Steve Smith had a chair, then he was very dangerous. at four, he has Willis.
Good. Yeah. Hopefully this helps Willis's case because that's bothered me for a while.
Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2007. First team All-Pro 5 times in 8 years.
That's awesome, yeah.
I mean, again, you're looking very much, and if he makes it in, to me, I look at that and say, well, James Harrison has that same argument.
Similar resume.
You can't look at Harrison's career and say, well, he played 15 years, but he only had this many sacks. No, you got to shrink it down to that 6 to 7, 8 year window when he was the dominant player.
You can't do sacks per year.
Right. Yeah,
I think that'll make it look terrible.
You got to look at Harrison, from 2007 until like 2012 or 13, he was ridiculously, he produced.
If you're making the argument for Willis or Harrison, you have to take the Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers approach.
Absolutely. Baselli. Nobody wanted to play against these guys when they were, when they were playing, when they were in their prime.
They were the best.
Yeah. At three is Darrell Revis.
He'd be one for me.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And then two, he has Joe Thomas. One, he has Devin Hester. No kidding.
Thomas would be my two.
People were automatically, because Cordarrelle Patterson of the Falcons, who the Steelers will see in 2 weeks, set the record with the most kick return touchdowns in NFL history with 9.
Yeah, last week.
And people were saying, he's an automatic Hall of Famer. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Just because you set a league career record doesn't make you a Hall of Famer.
No. I mean, he's actually helping his cause lately
Yeah.
He can play an offensive position.
He can
position.
Do something. In fact, you could make the argument that he is more, he's been the more valuable overall player than Devin Hester was. Devin Hester as a wide receiver was eh.
Oh, they tried him at corner. Like when he was coming out of the U, yeah. They didn't know where to put him. I mean, he's only a returner.
Only a return guy. Well, he was a good one. Yeah. So was Mel Gray.
Oh, sure.
You know, you could there's a whole bunch of those guys. So
I mean, we've had this argument a million times. I mean, is Hester, if returners go, should Hester be one of the top considerations? Of course. But should he go over Andre Johnson?
Right. You're going to tell me he's more valuable than Hines Ward? I'm going to say you're full of it. You know, is he more valuable than London Fletcher, who's 28th on this list? No.
Exactly.
No. I mean, they play every down.
real quick, back to Patterson. I mean, he's been waived. I mean, he's been unemployed. He's been on a lot of different teams. Like,
yeah.
People weren't banging down his door, you know, every step of his career.
No, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
Yeah. It's not a bad group, though.
No, it's not. It's better than last year's group, for sure.
Yeah, last year's I was not enthralled with.
Yeah. You can subscribe now to The Drive. Every episode we do is available for you to download. You can subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcast. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. It's Power Ranking Day. We'll be back with that right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.